That's the best thing. And don't focus on your personality.
Don't focus on your personality.
I've been doing that lately, and I've been messing myself up.
Y'all have trouble with some of the strangest things.
No, look, just...
I'm having trouble because I'm being too much like myself!
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Dreamcast. I'm sitting here with Jay and Clay as usual.
What's up, guys?
Hey, guys.
We're going to talk about some interesting things today. I hear that Jay had a pretty weird dream last night?
Not last night, the night before.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you said it should be kind of interesting, so yeah. I guess we'll start off the podcast with that, and then we'll get into some other topics
that
we want
to
talk about.
Sounds good to me. Yeah, I figured it would be a good attention grabber. So... I was sleeping on a sofa, and I had this dream that it's pretty short, so it'll be real quick. But I'm still laughing about it. All right, so I'm sleeping on the sofa, and I'm having this dream. I was sleeping really good too. I had this dream that I was this buff, really tan, tattooed, long bearded, Viking like man. Sitting in what was like a judgment seat in front of this crowd of people. Oh my. And in another seat sitting opposite to me in the room was this guy. I think he was an atheist. And basically we were having this argument before a bunch of, they're all in front of all these people. And he was basically, you know, first off, before I tell his dream, I want to just say that, like, I don't try to, really truthfully for me, I don't try to, like, enforce my way of thinking upon everyone else. I don't think that... I mean, I think everyone should have their own free speech.
Yeah.
I don't believe in, like, silencing people. You know what I'm saying?
Shut up, atheist.
Yeah. We live in America. I mean, I'm not an atheist, but I don't believe in not having free speech.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say this isn't, like, a reflection of who I really believe that I am. But anyway.
You're not a big Viking.
I'm not a big Viking, even though I wish I was. And I'm not... I believe in people saying what's on their mind. But anyway, this guy was talking, and it was an argument. And he was making his finishing point, and it was just making me angry. I'm sitting there like, oh, I've got to say something. And as he's making his final point, I interrupt him and say the best line that I have ever said, period, and I don't even know what it means. I would never think of this in real life, but I say,
adhere to the fourth.
I know that was really loud, but that's how I said it. And I woke up saying that, screaming it out loud in real life.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Like the Fourth Amendment?
I really don't know what it means.
Which one is the Fourth Amendment again?
But I said it so loud, and it was like in the manliest voice I've ever used in my entire life. And in real life, I was speaking that deeply when I woke up. I was like,
like you're...
adhere to the fourth, and as I yell it, I'm seeing myself in a third person in my dream, and my beard is like flapping when I say it. That's how deep and loud it is.
You had like early morning bass voice saying this.
Adhere to the fourth.
Hold on, I'm about to look up what the Fourth Amendment is.
Shut this guy up.
I forgot what the Fourth Amendment is.
I was like, what is that? I thought about like the whole day after. It's like the fourth of the Ten Commandments, maybe. I was like, that's keep the Sabbath holy, but I don't know how that applies to my dream, but what is the Fourth Amendment?
The Fourth Amendment provides... Wait, is the Constitution... Wait, what? The Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution provides that the right of the people to be secured in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause... supported with oath or affirmation, and particularly something else that it kind of cut off. But so it looks like it's basically the right to privacy.
Okay, well, I said this guy was going to adhere to the right to privacy, and it sounded manly. Like, it was like if a Viking and Thor had a baby, and yeah.
If the Viking and Thor had a
baby, and that was me.
He reminds me of a Viking, to be honest.
Who? Yeah. Thor?
Christopher Hemsworth, whenever he had the wig on, I guess.
Well, they're supposed to be like a Viking god.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
yeah, that's true.
So technically, he's a Viking.
Yeah.
So
was your accent British, too?
No, it was Like, when I woke up, I was using the voice that was in my dream, and it was a voice that I don't know how to make.
That's really cool.
It is. It was like it was another person talking out of my mouth. Because it was really deep. And it's not like force deepness like this. It was like I was talking in this voice, but it was like a manlier version.
Yeah, a manlier version of your own voice. Like,
I'd hear to the fourth.
That's really cool. Should you should go into an audio software and distort your voice until you hear the
I should.
Until you hear what you sounded like, and that way you could let us know what it sounded like.
It was a cool feeling. It was like a satisfying feeling. Whatever we were arguing about, he was an atheist. I think he was trying to basically, you know, like get me to not believe in God.
Oh.
But you were like, I don't know.
Privacy, bro. Privacy.
Yeah, privacy.
it would, you know what? It would have been great if it was the free speech amendment.
I know, exactly. That's what I was thinking. That's what I was hoping it was going to be.
That would have been just perfect.
Best quote of all time, end of story. If anyone ever argues with me, I'm going to be like, adhere to the fourth, bro.
Respect privacy, bro. Unless it's the fourth commandment, then...
keep the Sabbath holy.
Keep the Sabbath, I mean... Sure. You were telling them to take a rest.
Yeah. Go quit working.
Go take a rest, bro. So that was an interesting dream. Yeah. You literally had voice altering in your dream.
Yeah.
But in real life. So. That's pretty okay. Cool. Well, that was weird. But I have something that I do at work, and I want to know if either one of y'all have done this, experienced this. It's kind of like a little brain experiment I like to do, I guess you could call it. But my work involves, I work at Chick-fil-A, if you don't know that. And when the dining room was open, a lot of times I would be the one in the dining room keeping it clean, keeping the guests happy, keeping all the condiment stands stocked, and just keeping everything in order out in the dining room. So... doing that was pretty monotonous, and it didn't require a whole lot of brain power, so...
Sounds a lot like parts of my job.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why I thought you might do this. And if you haven't done this, you should try it. So, I made it a point to try to observe my subconscious. Like, I would turn my conscious brain off and just kind of observe what was happening, and I'd watch myself do things, and I'd be like, I'd try to reason why I did something. So say I grabbed a wipe and I walked over and started cleaning a table. Yeah. I kind of did it on instinct. I've done it so much that
right.
Mm-hmm. I didn't really have to put a whole lot of thought into it. So I would be like, okay, I just walked over, started cleaning a table. I didn't necessarily decide to do that. It was just kind of a thing that just happened. So I would kind of be like, okay, wonder why I didn't go over and pick up a broom and start sweeping first. Why did I choose to wipe off that table before I started sweeping? And then I noticed that if there was anything that needed brain power, it would kind of be like my subconscious would alert my conscious self, and then I would notice what was going on and actually make a decision. Make a decision based on the what I had to work with. But so it was kind of interesting to me because I would find myself walking certain places that I didn't necessarily decide to go, and I would be like, I wonder why I'm here. And then I would pick up something and start doing it, and I'm like, oh, that's why. It was like I split my brain between conscious and subconscious and tried to keep them separate, and then kept my conscious from interfering with my subconscious while it worked.
I've tried to do that kind of thing before, and it sounds like it's one of those things where if you focus too hard on why you're doing things, you kind of fall back into your conscious brain, and then you kind of have to level it out.
It's kind of like the whole breathing thing where you just kind of breathe, but then if you think about breathing, you have to do it manually.
That used to terrify me as a kid. Did it do that to you?
I wasn't terrified by it.
I was terrified I was going to forget how to breathe unconsciously.
Huh.
Yeah.
But I was just sitting there holding a cup of water the other day, and I was like, we put so much trust in our bodies to just do what they're supposed to. I was like, if I haven't thought about this drink that I've been holding for at least 5 minutes or so.
Right.
And my body could have dropped it at any moment onto my crotch, and I would have been soaked. Yeah. But I just looked over and I'm like, I've been holding this and my hand has not let it go, and I haven't put any conscious thought into it at all. And it's just so amazing how you can just trust your body to just do what it does and not have to worry about spilling something or accidentally. A lot of times if you're used to holding a knife, you know, you don't point at anybody. You can kind of trust your body not to stab anybody. It's just weird how that works. And I don't know. I've just found it interesting to observe my body doing what it does without me having to put any input into it.
I think this conversation can go two ways. And first, I'm going to answer what your question was originally. Like, you were asking if I ever do that. And I have to say, yes.
You do?
I do that. Because, see, I didn't really think of it the same way you did. Like, I don't know that I was really doing an experiment. But my job is delivering bread, if you didn't know. I'm a bread vendor. And I basically just ride around with my boss and help him deliver his bread. But for the most part, I do the same thing he does. And he's very time-oriented. The whole job is, because you have to get to all these stores within X amount of time and get done and go home. And you want to just shave as many seconds off as you can, because seconds turn into minutes and minutes, hours, you know. And it's like, it's really helped me become very time-conscious. Like, everything has to be done chop, chop.
Yeah.
And the most efficient way possible. So on our rides around to the different stores, we'll think about, like, what's the most efficient way and talk about it. Even if it's like something simple, like not flipping the latch down when you get out of the truck, out of the trailer, because it takes seconds, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what I'm saying is, like, when I'm doing bread, it's basically, there's a lot of thought that goes into getting there, but once you have all your bread out on the aisle on the racks, you just have to put it onto the shelf, basically. And that part, I'm automatic.
Yeah, you just kind of do it without thinking.
Yeah, it's like breathing. I just do it. And I'll sit there and kind of analyze how I'm doing it, because I'm like, why do I do it this way? Mm-hmm. If I did it this way, why don't I do it a different way? Because is this quicker, or could I be doing it a quicker way? Like, I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I do it.
Yeah. And I used to have a job that was similar to that, as in where I just stood in one place and I picked up eggs coming off of a belt. And I didn't think about it much at the time, but now I'm thinking, like, all that is pretty much automatic. You pick up an egg, and your hand automatically feels which way the egg is oriented. Mm-hmm. And the point was to put the top of the egg face down, and your hand would just automatically orient the egg, wipe off any trash or anything that was on it, and feel if the egg had any cracks, put it in the right tray if it had cracks, and all that without you having to think about it. And I can think about,
basically, without looking at the egg, right?
Yeah, you didn't even have to look at the egg for the most part. You just, or even sometimes you did look at the egg, and your eyes just automatically processed that, okay, this egg is dirty, I need to put this and clean it off later. And it was just, I could think about other things while my brain somehow did all of the work for me.
Right.
It's like it's two different parts of your brain, and it's so weird.
It's like putting out autopilot.
It's like your conscience versus your thoughts.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Like, what I've noticed, though, is I'll watch myself doing this, and while I'm doing the bread or whatever, like, my thoughts will drift, and then I'll catch them drifting. I'm like, see, if I let my thoughts drift and I think while I do bread, somehow it takes me a little bit more time to do it, because I'm like, I'm thinking while I'm doing it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It slows so down.
It
how much
slows you down a little bit.
Hmm.
And I've even caught on to that, because doing the same thing every day, you start to see, like, even the way you think affects how fast you do it.
Yeah. Huh.
How efficiently you do something.
And on that same note of being like two different halves of the same brain, there sometimes, let's see, I'll have to try to think of an example, but like, if you are having a certain feeling in your mind, you can misinterpret your own thoughts.
Yeah.
And it's like, if your brain is you, what is there to misinterpret? Because it's creating the signals and misinterpreting them all at the same time.
Yeah, it's weird, because your thoughts can, like, there will be a random thought that pops into your head, and you didn't place it there, but it goes into your head.
Yeah, so it's like, it is you, but it's not you.
Yeah, because I kind of believe you're not really your thoughts, I guess.
Yeah.
In a way, because, and I don't know all the, like, I'm not the scientist, and I don't know how to go into all that, but it's kind of like, I like to look at it as your body soul and spirit. So maybe your thoughts are like your mind part and your spirit is you observing your mind.
Yeah, I suppose that could be a...
I don't know how it all works.
Well, I think on that a lot because I think it's pretty interesting. No matter what religion or belief system you have, basically it's the same. You have your mind, and then you have your spirit, or your chi, or whatever you want to call it, where, like, you have your awareness, but if you focus hard enough, you can watch your thoughts.
Yeah, yes. And it's so weird because it's like... I mean, that just, it's so mind-boggling because you think of yourself as just your mind, but there are other things in your mind that aren't necessarily you. And yeah, you can go into like the spiritual aspect, but you still think of that as being you. And if it's not you, then I mean, I guess it still is you. It's just like a different part of you.
Yeah, it's weird.
There's a thing called mindfulness. I've kind of fallen off the train, but like I used to meditate a lot. And if you focus hard enough, you actually can, like, I'm not going to give like a whole class on how to meditate, but like you can eventually, if you practice enough, it's kind of like lucid dreaming. You can learn to separate you from your thoughts where you can kind of just watch them. Yeah. And it's a really cool feeling.
Yeah. I had a problem where I've always felt like, not necessarily like an actual disorder where you feel like you're not yourself, but like where I would feel like I would be watching myself. I didn't like what I was doing, and I would try to change the actions I was taking, but it didn't necessarily work. So it was kind of like anti-mindfulness. Like I was aware of my thoughts and actions, but I couldn't change them. It was like the inside, it was like my mind and the actual person on the outside of my body who was actually acting were two different people. And on my inside, I was like screaming, why are you acting this way? Why are you doing this? But on the outside, it was like my physical body and my outer mind. I don't know how you would say that, but it was like, it was two different things and they were, had conflicting beliefs and thoughts, and it was just like it was like I was watching myself from the inside. And
well, that's I think that's a lot of what I'm talking, that's kind of like what I'm talking about. But you know, as far as disorders go, everyone's got a disorder if you want to diagnose it.
I would wager to say that if you looked hard enough, you would think that anybody, but as far as diagnosable, like actual life altering disorders, I've not like diagnosed or anything. That's just an internal struggle that I was having. But
I would like to get some people on here that have diagnosable stuff.
It'd be
cool. Like, I thought about that. Me and Clay have OCD, but like it's like we have medication stuff, we have it maintained.
Yeah.
Whereas I know there's other people that don't, that have more obvious things.
Yeah.
I guess I can tell you what OCD is like. It's basically like, I mean, I know, Colton, you know we have it, but you probably don't know what it's like to think with it. Like, it's like having your own, like you're watching your train of thought, and then an unseen thing is like shoving different thoughts into your mind, and you can't make them stop.
Yeah, the harder you resist, the more they try to come in.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that I have necessarily OCD tendencies. Like, I wouldn't say that I necessarily have things like shoved into my mind that I can't make. Well, I don't know, because like, I think everybody has things that pops into their head, but not necessarily to the point where it is.
If it's distressing you,
it's not necessarily to the point where it's like making a impact on the way you live and think.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I guess to a degree,
everybody has some of that.
Yeah, but like I guess with OCD, it's just basically a heightened. I don't even know what to call it. Like a heightened struggle, I guess you would call it.
Like you have the white bear effect, where they did this study one time where they had these people think about anything they wanted except for white bears for X amount of time, and they asked them at the end what they thought about the most during that time. They're like, white bears.
I don't even know if I could go do that. That's
Well, I know it's not OCD. Oh, it's just okay. Anybody. What I'm saying is like OCD is basically that. It's where basically unwanted thoughts are what plagues you.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah. And then like obsessive compulsive. So then like you try to do things to make them go away, which is the weird part to me, like how you think you can make your thoughts go away by doing actions. But
yeah
I don't know. I can't really explain that anymore because that part of it's been like gone. So.
Yeah, that's interesting. But yeah, I wouldn't say I was like, well, I don't know. That just goes back to what we were talking about. It, like everybody, I guess, has a little bit of it, but I wouldn't say I have enough of that to make it a problem.
Yeah.
I have just other weird things that,
yeah.
that are not necessarily a disorder, just like mental instability, but I don't even know if I'd call it that. That sounds bad. That sounds like I'm insane or something.
I think everyone has it.
Yeah.
Well, what I was going to, the other thing I want to talk about a minute ago, like when you were talking about your hand holding the glass of water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being on autopilot.
Mm-hmm.
I've thought like, so my job requires getting up really early, and lately it's really been beating me down. Like, I've been exhausted, and I didn't sleep for the past... I slept today, last night, but the past two nights before, I did not sleep, just because I couldn't. And on the way home yesterday, I got to experience micro-sleep.
Oh, gosh.
Where your body just goes off and does its own thing, and you fall asleep for a few seconds or a second.
While you're driving.
Yeah, I was driving home from work on the interstate, and I didn't know I was asleep, but I would wake up and be like, oh crap, I was just asleep.
Yeah,
not a good thing.
That doesn't sound fun.
Now personally, I don't like giving advice, but
yeah, that's a good time to pull over.
I think you might need a week off.
I do too.
Yeah, we need to plan a vacation.
We really do. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that's dangerous. That is not I've experienced driving while extremely exhausted, but I've never had myself actually fall asleep. I could feel myself wanting to drift, but I've never actually fallen asleep.
Yeah.
I'm like, if I ever, I'm going to say it right now. If I ever experience micro sleeping, I'm going to make a promise to myself to pull over to the side of the road right now, because that I've heard of, one of my friends, he had a friend that was in a car crash, and, he didn't know what happened, and it turns out he just fell asleep for a second and he went off the road. Which,
it's a real thing. It's where your body just says that it can't go on anymore without sleep, and it forces you to take little tiny sleeps.
It's like a forced power down.
Yeah, and what it does, it like the part of your, this is what made me think of it, the part of your brain that controls your hands and stuff without you knowing it kind of stops doing its job.
So
if they did a study one time, I remember seeing this on TV, where these people went so many hours without sleeping, it was like days, and they did a test where they were holding a weight on the end of a little string between their thumb and their finger, and they would just talk to each other, and without them knowing it, they would let go of it.
Oh, man.
Oh, so it's like your subconscious is falling asleep.
Yeah, like the part of your body that does things without you telling it to, like, I don't mean like breathing, but like, say driving or holding a glass of water. Like if I were holding a glass of water, I probably would have let go of it, even though I was awake.
Yeah, that's weird. That's like when you're laying down in your bed and you start to fall asleep and you drop your phone on your face.
Yeah,
that's kind of what it sounds like, and that is weird, because at that point when you are falling asleep, there's literally nothing to protect you, because like your subconscious is your alert system. If anything happens in your peripheral, your subconscious is like, ding, alert. And then you look over to whatever.
Right.
And in order for you to process what's going on.
I did notice, though, that when it happened and I got into Ada, when I got into town off the interstate, I was like hitting myself on the head to get off the interstate. But once I got off the interstate, and I was like driving through the middle of Ada, and I noticed that one of the times when I did it, I was looking up towards the sky, and that was just enough to make me nod off a minute.
Yeah.
And my car was slowing down when I snapped out of it. Like, I was almost stopped.
Wow.
Like, I was subconsciously slowing down, going to stop in the middle of the road.
Oh, my gosh.
Weird.
That does not sound fun at all, and I hope I don't ever have that. I hope I'm not ever tired enough to have that.
Yeah, you know, I might ask for a day off.
That's a good idea.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, if you can get a week off, me and you and Clay and whoever else we can scramble up should just go take a week off and go to the beach or something.
That'd be awesome.
That sounds fun.
Because that would be really fun just to have a bro camping trip at the beach or something.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Also, I was just going to say that the thing with the subconscious where you're... See, I don't observe it. I'm like Jay, kind of. It's more... I can put it on autopilot and go. And that happens a lot when I'm mowing my great-grandmother's lawn.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I have the most philosophical...
With me when I'm doing bread.
It's crazy. And also, there's one example I think we can all relate to, actually. And that's when we're doing our forms in Taekwondo. If you're not paying attention, then you can kind of just autopilot it.
Yeah. If you're good enough at your form, you can just do it by not even memory. Well, I guess it's just muscle memory.
It's instinct.
Yeah, basically. Instinct. Yeah. Well, saying that, speaking of driving and doing, driving the lawnmower and thinking thoughts and stuff like that, people a lot of times will have shower thoughts, but for me personally, I have car thoughts. I've been driving since I was like 6 months old, so I don't know if driving is just so natural to me that it kind of allows my mind to just drift or what, not necessarily in an unsafe way, but
yeah,
I pay attention, but it's like my mind can wander around, and
right.
that's my peace place, I guess, is driving around in a car by myself, and just, it just allows my brain to cool off, or, well, a lot of times it actually allows my brain to heat up, because I'm thinking about all these random, weird, just whatever the heck is going through my mind that day, thoughts, and that's where I get my most... I guess you would call it thoughtful thoughts. I don't know.
Yeah, the kind you would share on this podcast.
Yeah, the kind we share on this podcast. That's actually probably where I started thinking that, hey, I'm going to start observing my subconscious.
Yeah.
I guess I would recommend it. I mean, it does get a little bit weird, because when you start doing that, you almost, I don't know, you really do start to feel like there's a person living inside you that you're... you have no connection with, like, you can only speak to through, like, you have no speaking ability through your brain to talk to. You can only just kind of coexist with it.
Yeah. Well, dude, if, to me, honestly, if the best, the ultimate form, I guess I'm trying to say, of being aware and doing things efficiently would be to silence the little guy in your head.
Yeah,
you know, silence that part of you that's always thinking,
and
it is possible to do it. I will say, I've read books on it, and I used to practice that instead of like lucid dreaming and stuff, and
yeah,
it works. Like if you, I recommend trying that. If you just spend time every day, if you don't know how to meditate, you know, look it up and try it.
But I wonder if that's a whole different part of your mind, because you have, so that's adding another layer to it. That's you're not only your subconscious, which doesn't speak and only acts on instinct, and then there's your conscience, which acts on logic, and then there's your thoughts that act on who knows what the heck they act on, but they just, you know, kind of pound into your mind.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, silencing, just the thought.
Right? Yeah, just the random chatter of your
yeah.
the mind, the interference.
Yeah, maybe it's like, you know how a computer... you have your CPU, I think, I'm not a computer genius, but you have your main processing unit, and if you have stuff in the background playing, it uses more
RAM.
Power,
yeah.
Or it uses more...
takes up the RAM.
Yeah, it takes up the RAM. So when you close out those background things, you suddenly have more RAM to do other things
with. Yeah. But yeah, that's a good observation. I think that if you can, maybe close out the... You just have to make sure you don't accidentally close out the conscious thought and let the chatter run rampant.
Yeah.
Because that's when you get the, I don't know, the spaced out, not necessarily thinking of nothing, but thinking of everything and nothing at all. Like when you're constantly, there would be times when I'm doing something monotonous and I look back and I'm like, what did I think about in that entire hour when I was doing just this random thing, what exactly did I think about? I thought about everything I could think of to think about and got nowhere because
it wasn't,
nothing was happening.
Yeah, it wasn't that memorable.
I guess to me, honestly, if you're trying to silence that voice in your head, then really what you have to do is stop talking to it, which I don't think we really realize that we do. Like, you kind of give that those random thoughts fuel by just letting them do their thing. But at the same time, you can't, like, you can't be like, oh, stop thinking. You kind of just have to choose to look at them. It's hard, but you have to, like, just sit back and choose to look at them and watch them go.
But on the one hand, you can...
And just ignore them, you know? Or, like, shut them down. I don't know.
Yeah, but on the one hand, they can interfere. But on the other hand, a lot of times, doing that is where I get inspiration for my conscious thoughts. Because, like, you pick up on something. You're like, huh, that's an interesting concept. And then you start actually thinking about it. And it's like, okay. And you get somewhere with it. But I guess if it's becoming a problem, then yeah, you definitely need to tune it out. But the problem I have is when I'm doing something monotonous, if I stop thinking about things, I feel like I'm almost wasting time. I'm like, I could be thinking about something right now, and I'm not thinking about anything, which is a waste of time.
That's just kind of like, it's a toss-up. Thinking about stuff versus doing your task at hand.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that's a good place to do meditation, where you, the kind of meditation where you just breathe and you think about nothing, which is pretty hard to do, because you start thinking about, oh, I'm thinking about nothing. Oh, crap, I'm thinking about something.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So I really need to start meditating more, because I do think it would help to just kind of close out the task bars in your mind, as you said. Just kind of wipe the slate clean, start fresh, and... you know, just it just allows you to think clearer. But
what I found is the longer you've let your mind kind of run, the little chatterbox run rampant, the weirder it feels to meditate, though, because, like, something's missing when you're done.
Yeah, that makes sense. But I definitely do need to start meditating more often, and I might start today. just take a...
It'd be a cool experiment for us all to do.
Yeah, it would definitely be. Yeah, just meditating every day for a month and seeing what happens.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to do a challenge like that, but I don't think I can handle an hour. I think I might have to do...
You start with, like, I don't know, 20 minutes?
Oh, 20 minutes sounds like a lot. I could 10, do 5 minutes.
5 minutes? Okay.
I could do 5.
Maybe 10.
Well, yeah.
I could work my way up to 10.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that sounds like a cool concept, just to be able to sit there with nothing happening, just like you're being in the world without being a part of it for just a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Cool to be able to exist in the world and not be a part of it just for a little bit. That concept just sounds interesting. It's almost like refreshing. Traveling through time.
Yeah.
Yeah, refreshing, I guess you could say, like a clean slate for your mind.
And, you know, it's kind of interesting to me how in America we have a strong work ethic. Like, we have a very work-oriented mind. We go.
I don't.
Well, see, but what's interesting to me is that you also find it easy to just kind of disconnect with your thoughts.
Yeah,
that's
true.
So what I mean is, like, think about over in other countries, like in China, the whole mindfulness thing is like a whole way of life. Then you can get into, like, Buddhism and stuff, which teaches it, but, you know, that's a whole thing for another time. But, like, you, it's over there, it's kind of like just a way of life. Like, there's a lot of people that practice it there, where you just kind of learn to center yourself, and it's like, I really think we should do it. I think we should do some meditation challenges. I recommend if we do it, we, like, work our way up so we can experience the different levels of it and then come back and report about it.
Yeah, that would be cool. All right, I guess we'll end off there. We're going to try to set up a meditation challenge, and then next time, if we've done it correctly, it might be in a month, because we might do a month-long challenge, or we could start with a week. We might want to do this in segments, but but hopefully you'll hear about it, and hopefully it'll go well. But I think we're going to end off the episode there. Thank you for listening.
Remember, guys, adhere to the fourth.
Adhere to the fourth, whatever the heck that means. Keep your privacy. And be sure to follow us on Instagram, because we did make an Instagram. And if you're here from Instagram, then make sure to drop a like on Instagram.
Yes.
But thank you for listening. We'll talk at you later, and have a good day.
Nice. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.